Amen. Is that your commitment to the Lord? I will serve you till I die. Is it? Amen. Or I'm going to serve you till 12 o'clock.
No.
At 12:15, I'm going to be out of the restaurant. You know what I'm saying? We got to say, you know, it's a lifelong commitment to Him. I'll serve Him until I die. You know? And I'm telling you, we think, well, I'll serve you till we die. And we think, okay, 105, 110 years old, be okay to go at that age. You know what I'm saying? 120, I'm shooting for. You know what I'm saying? But folks, today as we come together here at the Memorial Day, looking at the soldiers of the cross who went before us, some of them went on to be 80, 90, 100 years old, and some died at 30 years old, you know? But they served until they died. And what God wants to do today is encourage you to do that, what you just sang, that's not just a song, but it's your decree. Okay? It's not just something to make us feel good. I love singing, you know, you're all doing good today, you know what I'm saying? We had rhythm. And the reason I knew that, why we have rhythm today, Lord? Kenny Weekly's not here. I tried calling Kenny. I can't get an answer either way, so I'm not sure where they're at today, you know. But just kidding you, Kenny. But it's just, it's more. This is why we come together, to encourage one another. You know what I'm saying? Because in the middle of the week, when hell is breaking loose and you're in a battle, a spiritual battle, you're going to remember this. You're going to remember the smiling faces. You're going to remember the brothers and sisters that stood up beside you today. You're clapping and saying, yes, I'm with them till I die, because that's going to give you the strength to go through another day. Amen? Because you know you're not fighting this battle by yourself, you know. There's many of us right here and around the Coshocton and around Ohio, around the world. Many of us, brothers and sisters right now, are engaged in that spiritual battle. We are not alone. Right now we have brothers and sisters chained up in prisons around the world right now, glorifying, just praising the Lord, you know. This is the first day of the week. Most Christians, that's where we come to celebrate, first day of the week. We might come together on Friday night, and some of us come Friday night and Sunday night, or Sunday to celebrate, amen. But they're coming together right now, just praising the Lord. Saying, Father, no matter what tomorrow brings, I will praise you, you know. Or inside, but no doubt they want to come back, be in fellowship with families, you know. Nobody wants to be in prison, but we got to realize wherever we're at today, it's just for a short time. You know, the battle that we're fighting right now, it's short. To us, we look at, man, I've been fighting this thing for years, and maybe you have. You've been fighting it. But someday that battle is going to be completely over with. Man, then we're going to sit down. We're going to sit down with other brothers and sisters, you know. Who do you want to sit down, I know, other than Jesus, because we're all going to be fighting over Jesus, you know. But who do you want to sit down beside? And let's take our loved ones, okay. But who is it? Who is it you want to sit down with in your heart that maybe you study a lot? As you look at the Word of God, you look at the old patriarchs and stuff, and it's like, boy, I get there, I'm going to sit down beside this guy here, you know. Somebody want Luke?
King David.
King David, okay, okay. Abraham, okay. John, okay. Mine's Noah, okay. I think I want to sit down beside Noah. I want to see how many fish he caught. And then 40 days, you know what I'm saying? How much fish did he kill? Well, maybe Jonah. Can you imagine Jonah?
Yeah, I'll be interested.
Tell me truly how big that fish was. He can't lie in heaven now, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yes. But the brothers and sisters that came before us, man, we'll be sitting there listening to their stories. And I truly believe they're going to look at us and, man, how did you guys survive? I mean, we had it bad in our days, okay? Temptation was there, but man, you guys lived right in the middle of hell on earth. And you stayed faithful to the cross. You know, at times, at least some of our brothers and sisters in days gone by, they had to travel from one battle to another, you know. And they might be on that Damascus Road or someplace for 100 miles. It might take them 3 or 4 days before they engage the enemy again. But we engage every time we turn around, don't we? Yeah. And they're going to say, man, how did you guys survive? We want to talk to you. How did you do it? We'll say, how did we do it? Well, because of you. Right. We saw that you did it. So we know that we could do it, you know. And all the glory goes to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be an awesome time. Swapping stories back and forth. And just, oh man. Because them days will be gone. Never had to fight another battle again. Well, I love the song you're singing. I lay down my sword and my sword and my shield down by the riverside. Because we ain't had to fight no more. You know, we're not. But that day isn't here yet. So we need our sword. We need our shield. We need that Word of God. We need to be encouraged, you know. We have men and women, like we said earlier, that laid down their lives because they believe so much in the United States of America. They believe so much in the freedoms that we have, the right to worship God. Never forget that we came to America. America was discovered by the pilgrims for freedom to worship Jehovah. Okay. Now, through the years, I know I've been battling back and forth. But that's a true reason that we came here for religious freedom for God. And men and women gave their lives over the decades and decades and decades and decades for that. Today, we are engaged in a different type of war, a spiritual war, which has physical ramifications, I guess. But we look at the number one person that came before us. We look at our patriarch. We look at 2,000 years ago. We look at Jesus. Okay? He's the one that you pledge to follow, right?
Right.
Amen? Okay? If you didn't pledge to follow him, then you're not born again. You're not a Christian yet, okay? So if you're not, that's cool. I'm glad you're here today. Just listen, see what you're going to get into. Because time we get done today, wow, you're either going to love Jesus or you're going to hate him. One of the two, okay? Because you're like, I ain't going to go through that. Or you're going to say, well, yeah, I can hang out for a while with that. You know what I'm saying? But Christ thought it was important enough to redeem us from our sins to come take in human form. Man! I mean, some of you all today, you left your house with air conditioning. You got into your car with air conditioning. Drove to church with air conditioning, okay? Awesome! But can you imagine? We didn't have air conditioning in the church. We tried that once. Well, I don't have my 5 day on. But to leave your air conditioning, knowing that you're going to go to the church today, the air conditioner's broke, it's going to be 114 degrees in that place, and you're going to sweat. But you come anyway. Yeah. Think of that. In a larger scale, that's what Jesus did for us. He's in heaven with every servant you ever think of. You think of, oh man, what do you want? Not what you need. What do you want on earth? He had it all up there. But willing to step out, put on the body or a suit of armor of flesh like we did, step into our presence to live in the pain and suffering that we live in, to redeem us from our sins. See how much you're worth? He did that. He did that. Died on the cross, paid a debt for our sins, rose up again. Then he sent the Holy Spirit. We just celebrated last week, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit now lives within us to do the same that Jesus did. Amen? If we're not doing what the Master did, then we're not following him.
Right.
I mean, that's plain and simple. If we're not doing what he's done, we are not following him at all. We're just having a good time. You know what I'm saying? We become followers of Christ. Follow him as following his word. Don't ask out loud. But what's in the Bible that Christ said to do or not do that you're not following? Think of that for a second. Okay, just think. So if you're not following that, are you a follower of Jesus? See, there you go. It's all nothing. It's all nothing. Say, come on, Bob, follow me down to Tim Hortons for coffee. All right. And I start walking south on 2nd. I know, I still owe you a cup of coffee, okay? Bob, yeah. Do what?
You read Bob
one? I know. I should never.
Never done Bob, man.
I lied to Bob one time. A couple months ago, I confess. Surprise 90th birthday party at the church. I said, Bob, what are you doing tomorrow? Let me pick you up for coffee. We'll get coffee and donut at Tim Hortons. Just to get in my car, then I made up an excuse. I stopped by the church. He came in and had the party. Okay? To me, cake, ice cream, presents, family, love called to cover the multitude of sin, right?
Yeah.
Bob won't release me from it. He still said, I owe him coffee. I go, oh. But if I said, Bob, come on. Follow me, because he wants that cup of coffee now. He wants that donut. Bob, follow me. Going to Tim Hortons. I walk out, and I go north on 2nd Street, and Bob goes south.
He's just looking after you.
Is he following me?
No.
Is he following? No. Now, in his heart desire, he wants that coffee and donut, okay? But if he's not following behind me, he's not going to get it.
Right.
And folks, the same way our walk with the Master. Listen. When we throw out the, maybe this is where the problem some of you guys' walk are, you know. God's here to cleanse us up. You want the rewards of heaven. You want the love of God. His love's unchangeable. You want heaven, but you fall in the steps to hell. Understand that? And where will you be if you don't follow the steps to hell? You're going to be in hell! Listen to me! Please listen to him! We have all the good intentions in our lives that we want to have, but we want to see our loved ones again, we want to rejoice, we want to praise him. Woo! Yes, we all want that! But you're not following Jesus, you're following the things of the world that leads to destruction and death and hell for eternity! I mean, if you follow me to Tim Hortons, what I just told you about Bob, that's very simple, isn't it? Either he is or he isn't. It's the same way in your life with the Master. You either obey him and follow him, or you're not. Right. We don't always agree, me and my wife.
No.
Okay?
No.
But see, two becomes one. So we have compromise, we speak back, okay? Because we are two things together. And so we can compromise on what we're going to do today. I want to go fishing. No, I want to go skating. Whatever you want to do, okay? Which is fine. But we cannot take that thinking over into our relationship with Jesus.
Right.
I know he refers to us as his bride, right? The church is his bride. He's coming to get us one of these days. He's the groom. And I know we start thinking about brides, and for the men, everything, man. Now, if we're the bride, well, our brides always tell us what to do all the time. I'll just do what I want to, right? Okay? But it's not that way with the Master.
Right.
We don't have a say into his word. Okay? We can't change his word.
Right.
We can't compromise his word. And folks, if nothing else comes to us today, is quit compromising the word of God. Quit compromising your walk with the Master. Follow him the way he is. Either you are or you aren't. World War II, Brother Bob, any other World War II veterans here? Or we got more veterans here? You think whatever enemy is fighting at the time, can you imagine showing up, Saipan, wearing a uniform of the United States of America, speaking Japanese, and follow them? Would you be an American soldier or a Japanese soldier? You're an American to look at, you, but you're following the Japanese ways? Wow. You follow me on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
You might even
have to
get shot on both sides.
Yeah. But when Bob put that uniform on, he's a soldier. 100% of that, no compromise. Doesn't mean he couldn't be a nice guy doing his job. But there's a compromise. And folks, we have to get in our heart that way, guys. Please listen to God this morning. Please listen to him. Quit compromising. Please don't feel so intimidated by the world. Don't think that your God isn't strong enough to lift you up right where you're at. Don't think that your God cannot supply your needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus just because you think you have to lie, cheat, or steal to get what you need. What I'm saying by that, if you're filling out an application, you got to lie on it. You're a liar. If you have to get debt to get stuff from the government, now you're a thief. And God says, please don't compromise. I know, and I know even some places you go, they say, well, if you just change this bottom number, I'll turn my back. Don't. Let God honor you, number one. Wow. When you say, no, I could really use that, but I'm not gonna compromise. I'm not gonna change it. You know what your God's gonna do? He's gonna step in, and he's gonna lift you up, and he's gonna bless you far more than you ever imagined. You know? And he gives us opportunity of that. And we have brothers and sisters who came before us that never compromised. You know, for us, some of us, a compromise might be you're not getting invited to dinner somewhere today. You know what I'm saying? The family's getting together and they're not inviting you, Bonnie. Because you're a Jesus freak. He wants his Bonnie to come talk about Jesus. We have an awesome time around my sister anymore because of two things in the world you never want to sit beside, you never want to be involved with. She's one, I'm the other. You know what I'm saying? So normally we're always sitting by ourselves, you know, family together. Number one, she is head over heels in genealogy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I'm a Christian, you know? So nobody wants to sit around us during dinner time and stuff because we either talk about our ancestors or we're talking about Jesus, you know? So we get to know each other pretty well, you know? I take the genealogy and take it back to God. You know what I'm saying? Woo! Yes. But listen. It's only for a short time. Only for a short time. To follow Him, not compromising 100%. And that's what He's looking for. We look for soldiers that won't compromise. If I ask you today, me coming from law enforcement, and we see once in a while a police officer that does bad, and we call him a dirty cop. He takes an oath to protect, to serve, and he turns bad. He ends up stealing. What do you think of him? Oh, you won't hurt my feelings.
Dirty cop.
You despise it, right? You put your trust in him.
No.
Yes, you did. I'm not your husband right now.
Oh.
That police officer, you put your trust in him. He wears a badge. I mean, that same guy's going to stop maybe your kid in the middle of the night. Slow him down for speeding. You put faith and trust in him, okay? I don't say your salvation in him, but your trust in him. And turn out to be a dirty cop. Man, you get so aggravated. So upset, right? Let's switch it around. A dirty Christian. Think about that. You call it a hypocrite. Okay? And we don't want that, do we? We don't want that. How do some cops fall? I don't know. But somewhere along the line, this compromise started. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it started with good intentions. Maybe they're in a bad section of Chicago. And the gangs come to me, listen, man, we can wipe this whole place out. See all them kids in that school over there? Whether you're here or not, we won't take them out. But I'll tell you what, you just turn your back enough. When you see this green Camaro come through town, you just turn your back. We'll bring a kilo in the town. You just turn your back. Well, them kids live, and here's $100,000 to turn your back. Man, what am I going to do? Let me think. I don't want kids to die. All right. So next thing you know, there it comes. He does it. Thinking he's doing the best thing. He just compromised the oath that he took.
Right.
And then he grows more and more and more. Even though he might have had good intentions to start with. Okay, he took $100,000 and he gave it away to the brothers and sisters of the poor. But he compromised. And it snowballs and snowballs. And folks, we may be the same way. We can compromise the Word of God. But listen. Like I said before, it'd be a lot of butts in hell, right? But you know what I'm saying? So we cannot compromise that Word. We have to be faithful to it, even though it takes our last breath. God is depending upon us. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a reason why you're still here, right? There's a reason why the day you got born again, He didn't just knock you down and bring you home. Like you just sang a minute ago, you're on the battlefield of my Lord right now, you know. And as the Master went to the cross, wow, He expects us the same thing. To die to our own fleshy needs, our simple needs, allow Him to live in us. And throughout history, there's been a few of us, there's been millions of us that have done that. There's a couple I want to talk to you about right now. One of them, his name is Nathaniel. Bartholomew, I say it right. He replaced, who did he replace?
Judas,
yes. Wow. They saw that, man, he had the heart for God. And he was going out doing the same as you do. Sharing the gospel. Hey, man, Jesus loves you, Carol. Yes, amen. And you go out there and you tell people, hey, the Lord loves you. Oh, wow, awesome. But I want to tell you something. Because I've been there and done that. Man, what you're doing is sin. Man, I know it feels really good. I've been there. But man, he says the wages of that sin is death. You'll be in hell when you die. God doesn't want, he loves you, man. I love you too. I've been born again. Wow. That's what he was doing, sharing the gospel. Wow. I got good news for you, Bob. Christ died for our sins. Oh, man. Hey, I'm going to let you know, guys. You've been fed a bunch of wrong stuff. Sin is sin. God hasn't changed. If you die in your state, where you are now, you'll be in hell. And you know what? Some people just don't appreciate that. Nathaniel trying to shut up our brother. To shut him up. They pulled out a knife. Stretched him out. Started filleting him alive. For sharing the love of God. And our brother never recanted. God loves you. He never said, oh, he had the opportunity. They pulled that knife out. Oh, shut up right now. We're going to fillet you. I love Jesus. He loves you too. He never recanted his story. Our brother was flayed alive. Died worshiping the Lord. That has been handed down to you, Gail, Bonnie, Aaron. That's our brothers before us. Are we there today? Is our spiritual walk, are we that grounded in the Word of God? He didn't compromise. So we don't have to compromise. Amen? He stepped in the presence of God. You know, we had another brother. Another brother. I forget what show that was. Another brother. John the Baptist. No. John the Revelator. Let's do that right. We'll make it a little shorter today. I'm going to tell you about 18 instead of 25. John the Revelator. He's the one that would sit around the table in the night Christ broke bread and had communion. We call it communion today. And Jesus laid, sitting there, and the disciples stretched back, laid against him. He said, the one that Jesus loved, that was John. See, when you write your own gospel, when you can always put in, well, he loved me more than you. You know what I'm saying? He had a love for Jesus. Like all of them did. He followed them around. Now, as time went on, they're being Peter be killed. Remember James? They captured both of them. They killed James. Put Peter in jail. They're going to kill him. Eventually, Peter was crucified. Upside down on a cross. There wasn't any of the disciples that died a normal death except for John. All his buddies were all gone. We have, and I'm going to say age, we have the two oldest people in our congregation, I believe, right now, sitting right here. Okay? So imagine this. We all start at the same age, okay? Everyone right now, you're 33 years old. All right? Woo! Woo! Man. Hey, I'll be back. I got my youth back. Okay? And we're following Jesus. And time goes on. Oh, man, they catch me and they put me in prison. They chop my head off. Boom. But you guys keep following Jesus, amen? Oh man, you're crucified upside down. This half of the church here, they just put you on crucifixions, on crosses. And tonight they're going to light you on fire. They're going to watch you burn tonight for entertainment. Wow. But here's our brother. Here's our brother and sister both ways, ain't they, huh? Opal and Bob. They see all this happen. But you know what they do? They continue on. Worshiping the Lord. They keep on telling the gospel. Oh, Jesus loves you. And time again. Finally, boom. Only one is left. Sorry, Abel. Bob is the last one left. Rest of us have been put to death. Bob doesn't stop. He's still sharing the gospel. In fact, he's not even intimidated by a king. He's preaching. God loves you. Repent from your sins. He died for you. Everlasting life. Yeah. And for some reason the king doesn't like that too well. So he decides to put Bob, I'm going to say it this way, put John, the Revelator, to death. Well, why have an execution if you can't have a party? You know what I'm saying? So, can you imagine billboards go up? Hey, this Sunday afternoon at 2:30, come to the Coliseum and watch John being boiled in oil. Yay! And people are excited about it. That's how perverted the generation is. I mean, some of you guys, I hate to tell you this, but you got ate up by lions. They turn you loose in the Coliseum, they're betting on which one you can run out. Run faster. You know? Even before Tim and Carol got ate up, Tim says, you know what, Carol? Speaking to his wife, he says, you know, I don't have to outrun that lion. All I got to do is outrun you. You know what I'm saying? But listen, that's where we're at in society back then. The more ugly it was, the better, the more all, and especially the people they hated, they got sick and tired of hearing about their sins. They want to stay in their sins. They want to enjoy themselves. Every time I get comfortable, going to bed by 12 wives, Bob shows up, or John, I'm sorry, you're John now. Hey, God loves you, but hey, that's sin. Oh. So now they're telling me they're going to put him to death. So the Coliseum is going to be full. Thousands and thousands of people come, finally, entertainment. I can see him going through the Coliseum saying, hot dog, peanuts, get them while they're hot, get them. Yeah, this is entertainment, Polly. This is going to be entertainment to those who hate God. There's John. I get that oil boiling up. Coliseum, I hear him now. Boil, French fry him. Woo! So they take John and they start laying him down into the boiling oil. Yeah! John's going down saying, I will praise the Lord. I'm not sure what he was singing, but he was praising God. And he went down that oil. And about 5 minutes later, they raised him back up again. Again, he's under the oil. The crowd's like, yeah, that's awesome. Smell anything? Huh? You smell anything? You know, because we all love to smell french fries cooking, right? Onion rings. But you know what? They didn't smell nothing. The king said, hey, raise them up. They raised them up. And John said, I will praise the Lord. And you know what happened then? The Coliseum, the people started cheering for John. Yeah, woo! This faith that he kept. And his God not just saved his flesh, but those around us started coming to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And you know what happened? It made the king madder yet. Yeah. John became known as the one that you couldn't kill him. All right, guys, take John out to the island of Paphos. We're going to put out on that island. But the rest of them, no goods. So there goes John. That's our brother, guys, about 2,000 years ago. The one that we're remembering today. He went to that island. Not one hair on his head was singed. But you know what? God wasn't done yet. He did an awesome thing. He showed God's power. But then who shows up on the island? Jesus! I mean, you know he was in that bottle of oil too, you know what I'm saying? He goes, hey, John. Yes, Lord. Hey, take this down, will you? And he writes the book of Revelation. In your Bible, the last book written is John on the Isle of Paphos. He gave a revelation. Speaks about, at that time, what the churches were trying to do well, but where they lacked. Showed us, when you look at chapter 4:1, when he's going to take the church out of here. Then he shows the 7 years of tribulation and all the stuff's going to take place. And John is writing it down, man. But, we're getting close to 100 years old. He's not done yet. The king who put him on the island, he dies. So they take him off the island, this new king does. and put them in prison. It's kind of like a release thing, I guess you call it. Take from an island to prison. You might call it here, come from prison to the county jail. Okay. And why he's in prison? They give him a glass of poison to drink. Did the master say you would drink poison? It would not hurt you? No, he didn't know it was poison. I'm saying, for his name's sake. Still couldn't kill him, John. I give up. Get out of here. They released him. And for the next couple of years, our brother John could hardly walk anymore. They carried him from gathering to gathering. His message was this. Can he, this little frail guy, carry him in today? Sitting him down? Probably prop him up a little bit, raise his head up, drink of water. Jesus loves you. That was his message. They pick him up, carry him to the next town. Well, what kind of message would that be? Can you imagine coming 50, 60 miles, walking, some of you guys would? Hey, John, John's going to be at church today. He's preaching today. So they all show up, they get here. Ah, finally, door opens up, John comes in. Everybody's got their notepads out. Jesus loves you. There's a 104-year-old man who walked with Jesus, boiled in oil, put him on an island for years of poisonous snakes, wrote the book of Revelations, drank poison, but never died, saying, Jesus loves you. What an inspiration we to everyone that showed up. You can do this thing. God will always be with you. He'll never forsake you. Here I am, 104 years old. And he's still with me. That'd be like today. Not today. A couple months ago. Today would really be different. But if the door would open up and Billy Graham would walk in. Billy's in the, he went home to the Lord. But people would say, hey, Billy Graham's coming. Billy Graham's coming, you know. Not that Billy Graham ever won any limelight. A man of God. And we all gather, Billy Graham's coming. And watch him walk in. I think he was 99 years old. Just to walk in. Kind of frail. He would look at us. Followers of Christ. Those we commit our life to the Master. Oh, we've gone through some tough times. He'd say, hey, listen. Jesus loves you. What a reminder. We know that. But just to hear it. Hear it from somebody that's been through. We leave here encouraged more today than ever before. Think of that. And that's his message. Jesus loves you. He hasn't changed. Then after John, the last original disciple, he passed away, died a natural death. One other guy would come along, I'll share with you, and we'll close. A bishop, a man of God, his name was Polycarp. You guys remember Polycarp? Some of you will, some of you won't. Polycarp is a man who loved God. Just going around there, Lori, telling people, hey, God loves you, man. Christ died for your sins. Hey, that's sin, man. I'll let you know that, you know? And I ain't judging. I mean, the Word of God's already judged sin, and the wages of that is hell for eternity. So I'm not judging. I've been there myself. I'm going to tell you that Christ died for your sins. He paid that penalty. We don't have to go to hell when we die. He's already paid that penalty. If you just receive Him, oh, you know, because we've all been, we were born in sin, raised in a sinful world, so we've all been brainwashed in sinful ways to a degree, okay? So it's not your fault. So God says, but I love you, man. I love you. Just be born again. Accept my Son as your Savior and Lord. or just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, and turn away from your sins. What good news! Awesome good news! But people still didn't receive it. They hated him for it. And finally, 86 years old. 86 years old, they finally got a warrant for his arrest. Now this is the man, never hid, down people like Jesus. The soldiers come to his room, or to his house that day. They've been traveling quite some time. They're tired and they're hungry. They're saying, Polycarp, we got a warrant for your arrest. Oh, I see that you do. Heresy. Well, you know, Jesus loves you, but hey, you come a long way. This is Polycarp. This is our brother in the Lord. Now, you come along. Hey, before we go with you, it's a long way back. Have a seat. We're just getting ready to eat dinner around the table here. My brothers and my sisters and the Lord here. Here, sit down here. We got hamburger. We got french fries. We got Diet Coke today. I want you to relax. Now, if you don't mind, see a little room right there? Is there one way in and out? I'm going in there. I'm going to pray for an hour. And when you get done, you get rested up, just come get me. I'll go with you. Wow. So our brother Polycarp goes in and he prays. He's worshiping the Lord. He's not praying that he'll be released. He's not, oh Lord, get me out of here. Come on, I didn't sign up. No. He's in worshiping the Lord. Oh God, you sent me two more people that don't know you. Let me be a witness to them. Can you imagine that, guys? Wow. I mean, awesome. Think about that. Be around people that warrant for your arrest. They hate what you stand for. And say, oh Lord, thank you. He sent me two more because my brother and sister, we've been together now for several years in this room worshiping you, and I'm getting tired of hearing the same old stories. You brought me somebody new. And so they finish eating dinner. Polycarp comes out. Or to serve the warrant on them. They would tie them together and march out. Don't interfere, guys. Remember, Jesus loves you. Follow Him. I'm going this way, but keep the faith. And there he goes. Take him down. Now, this guy is sweet, man. Even the soldiers, they got a heart for him. They take him to jail. Go in front of other people that have power, the proconsul and stuff. Hey, Polycarp, man, listen. If you just deny Jesus, okay? If you just tell the folks here that he was really a good person, he really knew how to fish well, okay? And just say that. Get off this Son of God thing. We'll let you go. Well, I appreciate the offer. I can't deny what is true. I can't lie for anybody. And time again, they offered that to him. Oh. Anybody have a dinner planned this afternoon? Or tomorrow? Do you? What's your address?
671.
Polycarp is no different. Okay? He had plans. People around him that he wanted, oh man, tomorrow I go, oh wow. So let's say right now, I think Aaron, you said you got dinner going. Stand up a second. I'm sorry for a minute.
No,
no, you're not in trouble. Look, I just arrested him. Okay? Now his head, oh man, God, I wasn't expecting this today. Well, today of all days. Man, I got dinner tomorrow. I got the kids coming over, Lord. I got horseshoes and all that kind of stuff. So, I said, well, listen, Aaron, you just denounce Jesus. Just let everyone here know that Jesus is a nice guy. You can tell me he's a great fisherman, man. He had a way with people. Really spun a yarn. If you just tell them that, you'll be home the night before they go to sleep and get up in the morning and you fire that grill and have a dinner.
Nope.
Wow.
Jesus loves you all.
Now, exactly. Exactly. He could have done that. But what kind of life would he have after that? Inside of him. Now, the next day, he goes, Lord, I denied you. Forgive me. You know what God would do?
Forgive me.
He'd forgive you.
But
But you just know that, oh, I wasn't born to deny Him. And today we have that Holy Spirit to strengthen us. Thank you, brother. So do you have in mind now what Polycarp has gone through? Because he's no different. He's no different than what we are today. And so now we have him arrested. I'll catch up with you here in this. If you ever read this before or not, but this is Fox's Book of Martyrs. All our brothers and sisters who, not all, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that's been persecuted for Jesus, they listed in here. Now this one here is probably about 15 years ago that I got this book, so there's thousands more Christians that are listed in here. And what it does, it just shows us what people have done before us to encourage us to do the same thing. And on Polycarp, I just want to read you a part of it here that they had. I can't do it justice without reading the whole thing. It's only two pages. Can you bear with me?
Sure.
Amen. An elderly man in his 80s sat at a table eating dinner. Polycarp knew his life was in danger. A group of Christians had just been executed in the arena on account of their faith. But Polycarp refused to leave Rome. The Romans were executing any self-proclaimed Christians, and pagans were betraying those they knew to be Christians. That's why your friends were turning yourself in. After the recent executions, the crowd in the arena had chanted for Polycarp's death. We want Polycarp! We want Polycarp! A renowned follower of Christ and bishop of Samaria, Polycarp had become a Christian under the tutelage of John the Apostle. Wow, he knew Brother John the Revelator. Recently, the Roman proconsul had been looking for him for days. After arresting and torturing one of the Polycarp's servants, they finally learned where he was staying. So, finally, his friend must have turned in his address where he was at. The soldiers came into the house, but instead of fleeing, Polycarp calmly stated, "God's will be done." Polycarp asked that food be brought for the soldiers, and he requested an hour for prayer. Amazed by Polycarp's fearlessness, especially for a man his age, the hardened Roman soldiers granted his request. He prayed for 2 hours, wow, for all the Christians he knew and for the universal church, and the soldiers let him. Wow. I mean, right there, your time is done. What are you going to do? He prayed for you guys. I'm going to be leaving, but God strengthen these guys. Let them carry it all. Let them have strength. Let them not waver. As Polycarp entered the stadium, several Christians present heard a voice from heaven say, "Be strong, Polycarp, and act like a man." Because of his age, a Roman proconsul gave Polycarp a final chance to live. He just had to swear by Caesar and say, "Take away the atheists." Now, at that time, it says that Christians were called atheists for refusing to worship the Greek and Roman gods. But Polycarp, looking at the roaring crowds, gestured to them and proclaimed, "Take away the atheists." So see what he just did. They're calling all you guys here as Christians, they call you atheists because you refused their God.
Yeah.
So they said, "Now, Polycarp, if you just say, take away the atheists, we're going to set you free because you're saying that Christianity is false." So, there you guys are, right? Christians sitting here. He stands up. Take away the atheists. He's declaring the one true God. And they are the atheists denying Jesus.
Right.
That did not go over well with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But did he not say what they wanted him to say?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. The proconsul continued, "Swear and I will let you go. Reproach, turn away from Christ." Polycarp turned to the proconsul and boldly declared, 86 years I have served him. And he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" The proconsul urged him again, "Swear by the fortune of Caesar." But Polycarp replied, "Since you vainly think that I will swear by the fortune of Caesar, as you say, and pretend not to know who I am, listen carefully. I am a Christian." Boldly declared it. I love this guy. The proconsul threatened, "I have wild beasts. I will throw you to them if you do not repent." Polycarp replied, call them because I cannot repent from what is better to what is worse. But it is noble to turn from what is evil to what is righteous. He said, man, I can't repent. Why would I turn what was good and turn back to evil? I ain't going to do it. Then the proconsul threatened Polycarp with fire. But he responded, you threaten me with fire that burns an hour and is soon quenched? For you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment stored up for the ungodly. But why do you delay? Do what you want to do. He said, you're threatening me. You don't catch me on fire. Burn me for an hour? You want me to repent from that? To step into a fire that burned for a million, million years? Nah. Do what you want to do. I love this guy. Man. Finally, the proconsul sent a herald to the middle of the stadium to announce that Polycarp was confessing his faith as a Christian. The crowd shouted for Philip the Asiarch to send a lion against Polycarp. But he refused to send it against him. Then they shouted for Polycarp to be burned. They moved him to the marketplace and prepared a place for him to be burned. Polycarp undressed, and he climbed up. But when they were going to nail him, he told them, leave me like this. He who gives me to endure the fire will also give me to remain on the pyramid or on the stake without security from the nails. So they did not nail him, but tied him up. Bravely, Polycarp prayed as the soldier repaired the wood. So there he is. We're going to nail you to there. Make sure you don't leave it. Come on, man. Leave me the way I am. Do what you got to do. Bring the wood in. He's standing there. And as they are bringing the wood, they're building around. Imagine me being up against a stake right now. And all this wood, they keep bringing the wood in, you know. So they said that Polycarp, our brother, prayed. He said, oh, Lord God Almighty, Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received knowledge of you, God of angels and powers and all creation and of the whole race of the righteous who live before you. I bless you that you consider me worthy of this day and hour to receive part in the number of the martyrs in the cup of your Christ. For the resurrection to eternal life, both of soul and of body, and incorporeal of the Holy Spirit. So then, thank you that you see me worthy enough to be martyred for your namesake. And to go to heaven and get a martyr's reward. Again, his mind is not focused on that picnic tomorrow. Right. It's focused on the Lord and his reward. Among them, I be welcomed before you today as a fat and acceptable sacrifice, just as you previously prepared and made known and you fulfilled. Now, to me, I find it kind of humorous there. I don't know if he meant it or not, but me as a fat sacrifice to you. And that's what it was. He was being burnt, being a Christian. But he saw, hey, I'm just being a sacrifice for you. How could it be a sacrifice? He is still proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You know what I'm saying? His last words is for him. He's not praying to be released. He's not saying, hey, turn me loose. He says, as you previously prepared and made known, you fulfilled. The deceitless and true God. Because of this and for all things, I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you through the eternal and heavenly High Priest, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, through whom he glory to you with him and the Holy Spirit, both now and for ages to come. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what he's praying, man. He's just hanging out. Just think of that. How could he do this? Could you do it? Yes. With Christ in you. And I know we think, oh man, I could never do this. And guys, I could never, ever do this. Man, I tell you what, I'd be trading the things out. I'd be, okay? But the Christ in me can. And we had to remember that. Don't sit around, don't ever sit around being scared. Oh, man, what happens if it, is this no, don't. The Christ in you. The Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit that raised the Master back to life, lives in you. And He'll give you utterance. He'll give you strength. He'll give you the words to say. Amen. You don't sit there and try to memorize this prayer that Polycarp had. It was an awesome prayer. But you don't have to.
No.
God will give you the words for that moment. He wants us to enjoy life. Don't cling to it, but enjoy it. Proclaim the gospel and trust in Him for that day, if it would come for you and I, the same way that He'll use us. And I know if we read this 30 years ago, we wouldn't think too much of it as coming. But today, the way the world is, the persecution of Christians is getting more and more on our continent. There's always been persecution. It seems like we kept our eyes kind of closed, did we not?
Yeah.
We talk about people over here and here and here are being persecuted, and we feel kind of sorry for them, right? But that sorry never really makes it down to where it really needs to be at. And that's our pocketbook. Think of that. Our heart goes out when we hear that a brother and sister put to death in China or wherever it might be at. He leaves behind a family. The other wife, there's children that need to be met, need to be fed. Does that move us to help them? Here in the ministry, you know, every month we send $100 to the Voice of the Martyrs to help feed those. The ministry does. Through your tithe, it goes. Now your offerings is what makes up you. Your offerings. When you write down, you guys do such and such for Pastor Peter, man, that's your offering. Voice of the Martyr, that's your offering. You know what I'm saying? To make a difference in somebody's life. And you'd be surprised about $2. I think one time we bought a goat for $5, didn't we?
I was going to say, we bought goat and chickens.
Goat and chickens, yeah. I'd be surprised. And that sustains. I mean, if you got kids, and you got a goat and chicken, you got eggs and you got milk, you got scrambled eggs. You know, so yeah, awesome. Awesome. So we always remember that. They always need help. Because we are blessed in America. The poorest among us is richer than most of all families over there combined in a lot of cities. But there at Polycarp, as it was being put under his feet, I'm telling you what, I can see out in the audience, they're getting their wiener sticks ready and marshmallow sticks and stuff. They're going to burn this Christian. They're going to teach him a lesson. Not just him. I'm going to teach you a lesson, but you and you and you and you. I'm going to show you what your God can't do. Your God can't protect you. He said the Romans had threatened Polycarp with beast and with fire, but nothing would make him turn against Christ. After his prayer, the men lit the fire, which sprang up quickly. But even the fire wouldn't touch him as it formed an arch around Polycarp's body. Wow. So there he is, Tim. He's right. He's standing there himself. They taught him. And the fire's not touching him. You know what I'm saying? And I wonder this. Remember they told us he got naked before when they said he was going to burn him. He took his clothes off. I just wonder that God will protect him, but the clothing might add fuel to the fire. I don't know. Okay? Was he saying I had nothing to hide? Or was he saying, listen, you can't blame my clothing for keeping me from catching on fire. You know what I'm saying? Because then I say, oh, that was fire-retired camel hair or something like that. You know what? You hear what I'm saying, guys?
Right.
He wanted that. He knew his God's hand be over him. God's will be done. And that will was not for him to be burned. He wasn't that somebody give somebody else the credit. You know what I'm saying? And that very quickly takes me back to our modern day things today where we say, man, I win that lottery. Woo! I win $10 million today. Wow, watch out. Wow. That's the same thing. Well, it's easy to say that you love Christ, you won $10 million in the higher lottery. But God bless us, amen? Why give our glory to the lottery? Amen. And we do that. I mean, I'm not saying you do. And all God give, but don't let nothing take away from your hey, I had nothing. Bob, I had nothing this payday. I had $1 left. You want to do that dollar? I brought it in the church. My faith. So man, pressed down and overflowing. On the same level I give, God will give back to me. And at that time, a buck was all I had. So I gave everything I had to the Lord. And boom! I get home. I got two tires on my front porch. Someone gave me. How did they know I needed tires? Oh, I had a bag of potatoes there. I had milk given to me. See what I'm saying? God gets the glory. All of it. I know we can take a buck, buy a lottery ticket, come the next day. Hey, I had a dollar with the store. I bought a lottery ticket, $120. I'm going to give God the glory. All the numbers lined up. But come on, they don't sell me a thing. You know what I'm saying? Just trust in God. And He wants you to hold him out of the word. Amen? Okay? I'm not speaking against the lottery. Understand? If that's your resource, I am. To buy a chance is, I don't see. That's between you and God. You know what I'm saying? But if you're putting your hope in the lottery and not God, then we got issues there, okay? Anyway, but even the fire wouldn't touch him as it formed the ark over Polycarp's body. The Romans didn't know what to make of this. In the end, the Romans commanded an executioner to stab him. Wow. Man, he said, it won't burn up, Polly. So they came over and they stabbed him with a spear. And you know what happened next? The blood from his body, Brother Joe, it ran out, hit the fire and put the fire out. And then he died. He laid his life down. But guys, that's just a few of our brothers. And I say ancestors, we have sisters also that, you know, your women are in this thing too. That stood the ground, had never compromised, has fought a good fight. They're in heaven today. And guys, the same spirit that gave them the strength to do that living in us today. And it comes back to the one phrase is, there cannot be any compromise in our walk with the Master if He's going to get all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is awesome.